Welcome to Old God Talks to Me, a podcast dedicated to helping guys create kick-ass lives for themselves and those that they love. Ladies, if you want to know what your guy is thinking, this podcast is for women too. Each week, a special guest helps you create that life you've imagined. We talk anti-aging medicine, personal growth, relationships and hot sex. Yeah, you hear me, getting laid more frequently. Other guy vices, and topics that many don't want to talk about but need to. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to be old. Don't want to miss anything? Be sure to subscribe, share, rate, and review this podcast. And be sure to go to www.thestandard.academy/magazine and grab a free copy of our new digital magazine, The Standard Academy, where we talk about erogenous zones, growing hair back, and other things that will help you create that kick-ass life. Now get ready to listen up and share with friends.
This is Orson, the official old guy at oldguytalkstome.com, a podcast dedicated to helping guys create kick-ass lives for themselves and those that they love. And sometimes kick-ass lives has to do with, well, keeping up with current technology trends. And the old guy, he's kind of good at some things in technology and not so good at others. I tried to download the Uber app to my phone. And after about an hour and two vodkas, I gave up and just gave it to my daughter, and she downloaded it in 2 minutes and said, like, "What's wrong with you, Dad?" Which prompted me to have a third vodka. But there are other things I do know about. But this, right now we're hearing a lot about artificial intelligence, and some people think it's going to be like the reinvention of the wheel, and others have these apocalyptic image like of Terminator. That's one that comes out of the rise of the machines. And there's got to be, are both those things true at the same time, or are we being overly paranoid, overly cautious, or what the hell is going on? And today I've got with me an expert in that area, John Prado, who's a native of Nevada and has been a prominent figure in the technology sphere for over 30 years. He is the founder of Christian.com, an innovative project designed to create the most extensive and engaging online space dedicated to Christianity. He also co-founded Hello Network, a Wall Street-backed internet startup that raised over $70 million to develop user-friendly streaming media applications. As CTO, John played a crucial role in delivering top-notch software and organizing numerous streaming events. He holds two bachelor's of science degrees, but his greatest pride, which I'm going to ask you about, comes from being an alumnus of Bishop Gorman High School. In his spare time, John builds and launches very large amateur rockets. He is a professional football player and has one son, Gianni. So welcome to Old Guy Talks to Me, John.
Thank you. An old guy, Orst. I'm happy to be here. I fit right in.
Perfect. So I'm a little bit perplexed, okay, or puzzled here, because, you've got a lot of achievements. So what's the deal about, at some point you got to stop reliving your high school laurels. I mean, really, dude, I mean, how old are you? Let me ask you that.
60.
60. Okay. I'm 71. Yeah. I stopped thinking about high school. The day I graduated from high school. That's not true.
I wrote for Joe's event, because I knew there would be a bunch of Gorman people in the audience.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I heard John speak at an event, the luncheon that I go to, monthly luncheon here. So I was kind of like, okay, well, I mean, Bishop Gorman's, I mean, it's a great school. I went to a Jesuit high school in Phoenix called Brophy. But I would not list it as my greatest pride, especially, those are the days before there was such a thing as a participation trophy. And when they put your on the bulletin board at the end of the year, they put your class rank.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know factually that I was 167 out of 169. High school academic prowess was not something that I exhibited at that point. And so eventually I recovered it, actually learned how to study it at one point in my life.
Yeah.
So John, so let's talk about artificial intelligence. Could you give our audience a kind of a basic understanding about what is artificial intelligence? And I'm going to toss in another thing here. What is machine learning, and how are the two similar and how are the two different?
So I have a slide that I show on this when I'm speaking, and I'm speaking a lot now on AI. I've been in the technology business for 30 years. We actually studied neural networks in the late 80s. And so we just didn't have the computing power that you need in order to have efficient neural networks like we have today. And so there's this subset of AI. AI has been popular because it's been in the media, in movies. And it's been talked about and worked on since the 50s. So it's been around for 70 years. Turing is famous for writing a paper called the Turing test, where if you cannot differentiate that you're talking to a machine, it will have passed the Turing test. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what you're hearing today, ChatGPT and Bard, all these applications fall under the machine learning. I use a Venn diagram to show people how this works, because machine learning is a subset of AI. And then what we have here today is narrow AI. So GPT, ChatGPT, is narrow AI. And we all aspire to get to general artificial intelligence, or AGI, artificial general intelligence, where the machine will have general knowledge across the board. And that's when the computers become equal or even greater, smarter than humanity. And we figure that's about 10 years away from today. And so you've got the subset of machine learning, narrow AI, ChatGPT, these applications that we're seeing, whether it's DALL-E, which comes from OpenAI, which is a text-to-image application, Midjourney is another big one. Or
so, let's take a step back here. What's OpenAI?
So OpenAI is a company that was founded in 2015. Interestingly enough, by Elon Musk and a few other fellows, and their goal was to not let this technology get in the hands of the big technology companies. And that is exactly what happened when Microsoft came knocking on OpenAI's door back in December of 2022 and handed them a check for $10 billion. Now, that all of that strategy of not letting that technology fall in the hands of the big tech companies is exactly what happened. So Microsoft has access to all of OpenAI's product, which is ChatGPT. ChatGPT was launched November 30th of 2022, and it reached 100 million users in 60 days. It's the most successful application of all time in the history of the internet.
So John, when you say Microsoft has gained access to it, is it exclusive access, or do they have unfettered access?
Microsoft has exclusive access to the code. Other individual developers have access to the product via the API, which is limited. Microsoft now is embedding the code into every one of their products across the board. So Microsoft had an event this week called Inspire, and they are launching the integration of AI into every one of their products, whether it's Microsoft Word, Excel, Outlook, every one of their applications, including the OS. So the next iteration of Windows, probably Windows 12, will have AI directly built into the operating system.
So if you're and how long, what's the time frame of that? Because I mean, a lot of people are probably considering, like, okay, do I buy my a new computer now, or do I wait till this integration with AI is complete through?
Oh, if you buy Microsoft a computer today, we'll be able to run the AI integrated into the next version. It might be at Windows 11. I think that integration into Windows will happen next year. Whether it's the next iteration of Windows 11 or whether it's Windows 12 is yet to be seen. They could do both. But I think 2024 is when they integrated into Windows.
Okay. So this is going to be pretty ubiquitous.
It's going to be all... I use that exact same word. AI is going to disappear because it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be integrated into every application that you use online.
So now, okay, so I guess I'm going to say obviously you'll correct me if I'm wrong. You mentioned two open AI systems, ChatGPT and yeah. Bard. What's the what are those, and what's the difference between the two, and what are the similarities?
Yeah, good question. So OpenAI is the company. They developed ChatGPT. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. It's an acronym, and it's this neural network. It's this new type of neural network that was designed by in 2017 by Google, interestingly enough, released this new methodology to create a neural network. And they launched this product back in 2020. It's been around for 3 years. ChatGPT is an implementation of that technology that they launched themselves in November 30th of 2022. And so that's OpenAI, owned 49% owned by Microsoft. So you have OpenAI and Microsoft in one camp.
Is your life not working out? Have you tried programs and they did not work? Do you want to create a vibrant life for yourself and those that you love? Well, if you do, then get on a short call with me to find out if we're a mix. You can go to www.thestandard.academy, get to know you, and schedule a short call with me. If we're a match, great. If not, that's fine too. Either way, I'm going to have a free gift for you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Do it now.
And then you've got Google with their product called Bard as a competitive product. Those two large language models, that's what they're called, are the two best chatbots on the planet right now. And Google's product is called Bard. It's an acronym. I can't remember what it stands for. B-A-R-D. And so if you use Google, you can have access to that product right in your browser. If you type in Bard, you'll go right to Bard. And it is very good. I have to say, some of the responses I'm getting off of Bard lately have been better than what I've been getting off of ChatGPT-4, which is launched March of this year.
Okay. You use a term a couple of times, and I just want some clarity about it. What is because at first when you say neural network, I'm thinking about biological network, but you're saying something else. Is that correct?
So what the scientists did all the way back into the 50s is they modeled the brain, the neural capacity of the neurons, in how they're organized to create a electronic representation of how our brain works. And that's a neural network that as it's designed in electronics. So the neural network in your brain is the biological neural network, and the neural network that they use with these large language models are transformer-based neural network. So it's a mass array of processing units like neurons that are connected in a parallel fashion, just exactly how the neurons work in the human brain.
So you mentioned Google and Microsoft as being kind of the two big players in this space.
Yeah.
How is data put into, or is it put into, how do these artificial intelligence systems acquire data to deal with things?
It's a great question. And so OpenAI, back starting in 2015, went out and tried to scrape all of the data off the internet they could. The same method that Google used to create a massive index of websites, which are web crawlers, is exactly what OpenAI has done over the past 7 years, is go out and try to scrape every web page they could and build a giant database with that information. And so that's what they've been doing for the last 7 years. Google already had that information, and then Microsoft already had it because they had the Bing search engine. So both of those big search engine companies had access to these giant models of all the information that's been found on the internet, and then any books that they could get their hands on. All that information's been acquired by Microsoft and Google over the last 20 years. And then they've taken all that data and created a, what's called in the AI business as a model. And so it's not like a giant database. And what GPT and Bard does is not a database lookup. It's not a database lookup. They're actually generating what they think is going to be the next word in a sentence. And so hence G, which is generative. And so they've got this large corpus of data, and then the neural network is trained off of this data, and it's pre-trained. So GP is pre-trained. That data has been trained by a combination of automatic electronic methodologies and human feedback into the model to create the predefined model that's built into the into GPT.
Okay, so we have this a generative capacity. One of the things that always concerns me, especially now these days, when you do, let's say, a Google search on something, is that Google has a bias in their search.
Sure.
I think that, when they had all this thing with Epstein,
yep,
and you Google Bill Clinton with the Epstein pictures,
sure,
and nothing would show up,
right?
And you know there's a ton of them out there,
yeah,
and other things like that. So how do we guard ourselves? And I'm going to use the word woke. There's people are talking about artificial intelligence being programmed woke, in a lot of different areas. How do we get around that?
So this is a very complex question that you're asking, and has very many tentacles into no good answer, actually. And so not only
right,
not only might be Google and Bing have biases, but also the large language models also have biases. So OpenAI, the founders of OpenAI are very left-wing. And so when they launched early iterations of the application, they were very left-leaning. If you typed anything versus Trump versus Biden, you got two completely different corpuses of information, left-leaning, mm-hmm, I might say. They're getting better. I've watched these over the last 6 months get better and leaning more towards the middle than the left. But it is a gigantic issue, and the companies are trying to be as objective as they possibly can. And the people that are using when you use ChatGPT as a human, there's an up and a down thumb on each one of the replies. And if you hit up or down, that feeds that information back into their model. So the 150,000 people, the 150 million people that are using GPT right now are help refining this application move forward. But to be completely objective, I don't think you ever get there. You're going to be sliding across that spectrum. It's just the way it's going to work. I don't know if you could ever reach pure objectivity. And that's kind of our goal with Christian.com, is to be as objective as possible with that platform. But it is a giant issue, and it's talked about every day on the news.
Yeah, I mean, depends on where you fall. I mean, I fall on the more right leaning side, especially when it comes to stuff like quote unquote climate change.
Yeah,
I remember the first "quote unquote" climate change thing I saw was, I think it was 19 in the 70s on the cover of Time magazine, and it said the Iceman cometh.
Right.
And we were going to be in this apocalyptic. By the 80s, we're going to be in this apocalyptic ice storm on Earth.
Well, Greta said by June 21st, which is today, we were supposed to be underneath water.
Well, you know, I did take a shower today, so I guess she's partially right. It's just like, I'm sure you remember Blade Runner and the acid
Blade Runner is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie, but you know, the acid rain never showed up.
Yeah.
of course, now you know the big cities look like those apocalyptic movies of the 70s and 80s. They're starting to resemble that.
You never
thought it was going to happen.
Soylent Green, the opening scene of Soylent Green, where they're driving through town with the dump trucks, scooping people up into the garbage can, right?
Yeah.
Remember that scene?
I don't remember. I'm not familiar with the movie. So
Soylent Green with Charlton Heston in it.
Oh, okay. Gosh, that's a long time ago. I don't recall it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had a couple of great movies. So we have this issue of a lean in the data, and I'm gonna call it what I think it is. I think there's a certain amount of misinformation there.
Absolutely, 100%.
And I have no confidence after everything that we've seen with the Twitter files and everything else. I have no confidence in quote unquote the fact checkers. That's totally bogus because they're terribly biased in terms of they're not really into facts. They're more into let's see what's
that same issue is going to sustain in AI now. And what I do as a user is I run my same query on Bard and GPT, and there's a couple other large language models now that have launched in the last couple of weeks. And then Elon Musk is launching he announced his own company called X.AI, which is incorporated in Nevada, by the way. And so you'll cross-check across multiple LLMs, and then you'll get to choose what you believe is the best information off of all three of those.
Thank you for joining Dr. Orest and his incredible guest. Like what you heard and learned? Then be sure to do three things. 1, subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. 2, share this with someone who may need to hear it. 3, leave a review and rate this podcast. Opt in at www.thestandard.academy/magazine and get our free digital magazine with savings, articles, and deeper dives into cool controversy. Be the guy who takes action. Without action, you're not going to get the results you want. Thank you again, and make it a great day.